All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3 for the message tonight. First James is fine. I'm never going to live that down, am I? Huh? And then here comes these smart alecks out of the sound booth. You did say 2 Timothy. Oh, stay out of it. Oh, man. Yeah, 1 James. All right, here we go. Let's look at verse 13, please. And I want to read you a few verses here that have to do with wisdom. All right, wisdom. I'm going to speak on the wisdom of the world. But I need to read you all these verses because we need to know a little bit about the wisdom from above, but there is a wisdom from beneath that I'm going to actually study this evening. All right, so follow along as I read. Verse 13, it says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom," now watch, this is the worldly wisdom. "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." All right, now that is the wisdom of the world. That's what I want to speak to you about tonight. But now in verse 17, here is the wisdom that comes from the Lord. And if you'll look at verse 17 and follow along, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated." In other words, easy to get along with. Easy to get along with. "Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." All right, so we got two kinds of wisdom here. And I want to speak tonight on the wisdom of the world. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to open your word. And I pray that you will bless tonight in a great way as we look at this worldly wisdom that seems to be so prevalent and that seems to just be getting more and more fine-tuned and going further and further away from God and away from you and your word and the truth. And so, Father, I pray you'll help us to see the difference tonight. And I pray that you will give us a heart of understanding, and may the word of God make a difference and make an impact in our lives. And Father, we just ask you now to stir our souls with the truth of your word. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Let me ask you a very serious question this evening, and you don't answer out loud, please. Just answer in your own heart. But here is the question that I want to ask you. All right? Have you outgrown God? Have you outgrown God? Now, folks who have outgrown God think God is good for the little guys in Sunday school. And they think God is good for the infants in the nursery. And they think God is good for the little bus child who asked mom if she could come to church and then brought her sister along with her, and both of them were saved. And who knows what the Lord's going to do in those two lives. All right, I don't know, you don't know, but thank the Lord, they received the Lord as their Savior today. I mean, you know, the person that has outgrown God thinks that God is good for all of these folks, but what about you? What about me? What about us? I think once a person gets through high school and college and maybe gets married and then settles into a job, it's almost like they feel that they've arrived and therefore they don't need the Lord in their lives anymore. And to them, God is sort of out of date, you know? Just sort of out of date. We don't need the Lord. After all, we're doing pretty good, you know? That's our attitude. Now, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. Well, that's true, isn't it? I mean, when you're a child, you behave like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You see, the Apostle Paul recognized that churches and people change over time. Folks, one of the hardest things that I've had to deal with in my years of being in the ministry is not changing with the flow of traffic, you know, just not changing my what I believe, and even though it's sort of seems like it's fashionable today to change what you believe. It's just something that I sat down years ago and I said, I am not going to change. I remember sitting in Bible college in the preacher boys class and hearing those men of God come in and challenge. There were 1,200 of us when I was a student there, 1,200. And they would come in and bring these preachers in. And man, those guys would all preach on the same subject. Don't compromise. Don't change. Don't change your Bible. Don't change your music. Don't change your preaching. Don't change the invitation. Don't change the choir. Just don't change. And I think I've done a pretty good job of staying on the same place. And I don't plan on changing now. Pastor Holbrook said he ran into a preacher yesterday up the road and said, how's Church the Open Door doing? Are they standing firm? And Pastor Holbrook said, oh yeah, Pastor Norris is standing firm. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, that's kind of what we need to do, you know. Well, Paul recognized that churches and people change. And I believe that it's a tragedy when I hear someone say, oh yeah, I used to go to church. You used to? Yeah, I used to go to church. Well, why don't you go anymore? Well, I went when I was a child. Oh, so now that you're an adult, you don't need church. Is that what you're saying? Oh, well, no, I'm not saying that. Yeah, you are. I mean, that's exactly what you're saying. I used to go to church when I was young, but now that I've become an adult, I don't attend church anymore. And then we wonder why our lives get all messed up. You know, it's a tragedy. Listen carefully to this statement. It's a tragedy if our concept of God does not keep pace and grow with our other learning processes. It's just sad. We all know how sad it is to see an adult behave like a child. We all know how sad that is. We've seen that, and all we can do is just sadly shake our heads and say, man, that's awful. That's sad. Yeah, it is. I mean, we've all seen adults, but who have the mind of a child. And I'm sure that God must be greatly saddened as he sees the multitudes of adult believers who are like newborn babes in Christ. As Paul said to the Corinthian church, you've been saved long enough, you should be a teacher. But now I have need to come back and teach you the first things of God again, like he did to the book of Hebrews. You see, we ought to be growing, not going backwards in the Christian life. And so it's a tragedy when there is no growth. Physically, you see folks mature into adulthood, but what about spiritually? Well, sadly, too many Christians are like little babies in dire need of maturing. Now, these verses that I just read for you tell us something about the maturing process that is needed in the Christian life. And notice that wisdom is the key word in dealing with this matter of a maturing in the Christian life. Proverbs 4 and verse 7, the wisest man, quote unquote, who ever lived, Solomon said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You see, folks, if you get wisdom from God, not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom that comes from above, you know, the one that is first pure, verse 17, and then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy, you get that wisdom, and that wisdom is going to give you understanding as you go through life. You say, well, Pastor, where do I get that? Well, just go back a little bit to chapter 1 in the book of James. And look at verse 4. He said, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. Now, that doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. Please understand that. It is impossible for us to be sinlessly perfect. I probably told y'all this guy in the first church that we were in, that I pastored, I went around the community knocking on doors and inviting folks to come to church and trying to find out if folks were saved. And this one fella answered the door, and he had a medallion around his neck with a cross on it. And he said, oh, Reverend, come on in. And I thought, oh, dear. So I went in and sat down, and we started talking, and he talked. I listened. And he just kept going from one extreme to the other. And finally he said, now I'm going to tell you something you're not going to believe. And I thought, well, you've already told me about a half a dozen things I don't believe. I didn't say that, you know, but that's what crossed my mind. And here's what he said. He said, I believe that it is possible for a man to live so close to God that he doesn't sin anymore. And I said, really? He said, yes. And he said, as a matter of fact, I haven't sinned in 7 years. And I said, wow, man, that's terrible. Well, what's terrible about that? I said, sir, you have a 7-year record of perfection and you just blew it while I'm sitting here talking with you. And then he proved to me that he was a sinner. You know that? Because, boy, he lost his cool. He lost his cool, my cool, and everybody else on the in that community's cool all at one time. Now, you don't get sinlessly perfect. Nobody does. There's only one who was sinlessly perfect, and that's our Savior. All right? But if he said that ye may be mature, that's what the word perfect means in our King James Bible, and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Now watch. How do you get this? Well, here's how it comes. If any of you lack wisdom, if you want to know what the word wanting means, God's built-in dictionary explains it to you, wanting in verse 4, and if any of you lack in verse 5, there's your built-in dictionary. It explains the word for us. We don't use the word wanting like it was used back 400 years ago. We just don't do it. But the Lord knew that in our day we would not use it that way. And so we have an explanation. We have the built-in dictionary that goes along with the King James Bible. Now, if any of you want wisdom or lack wisdom, let him ask who? God. Just ask for it. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, God's not going to scold you for asking. He is wisdom. And if you want wisdom, all you got to do is just ask. And God will give you wisdom from above, the good kind. Now, where do we learn the bad kind? I tell you one place we learn it is sitting there watching primetime television, watching these Hollywood movies. Oh, it got quiet there, didn't it? But that's where we learn worldly wisdom. We get it from below. Godly wisdom comes from above, but the world's wisdom comes from below. Please see the difference, folks. Please see the difference. You see, there is, in verse 17, a wisdom that is from heaven. And notice, this wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle. It is easy to be entreated. I mean, heavenly wisdom is full of mercy. It's full of good fruit. Amen. Man, we need some fruit in our lives, don't we? May I remind you, the Lord Jesus said, by their fruit ye shall know them. Amen. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. But back in 13 through 16, there's another kind of wisdom that is explained to us by James. And in verse 17, we see wisdom that comes from above, but then in 13 to 16, we see a wisdom that comes from beneath. Wisdom from above, that's from heaven. But wisdom that is the wisdom of the world is from beneath. In other words, it is a wisdom that has been birthed in hell by the devil himself. And it doesn't come from God. It comes from Satan. Now, I want to speak to you now on this wisdom that comes from beneath, this worldly wisdom, this wisdom that comes out of hell, this wisdom that comes from Satan. And for the sake of the message, I'm simply going to call it the wisdom of the world. Now, just a couple of things. Notice, first of all, this worldly wisdom and what it produces. This worldly wisdom, we need to understand what this wisdom is. It's all around us, folks. We see this kind of wisdom on display every single day of our lives. You go out in the public, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. You go to a job, you're going to see it. It's just everywhere. You watch television, you're going to see it. You watch movies, you're going to see it. It's just the way it is. It's all over everything. The devil has his thumbprint on everything that goes on down here on this earth. Now, this worldly wisdom comes from the natural man. That part of us that is natural, that part of us that is depraved in nature. And it just is drawn to that worldly wisdom. You'll see these newscasters, and they'll come on and usually at the end of the newscast, right before the hour's up, and they will say, well, a new report came out today saying scientists are 99% sure there's life on Mars. And so you sit there and go, what happened to the 1%? Where'd he go? And if you check, that 1% is probably a Christian, all right? And he's got some heavenly wisdom, and he's read his Bible. Folks, by the way, you say, are we alone? God didn't tell us anybody else was out there. I'm just going to go with that. You say, well, what about all these things that people are seeing in the skies? Can I remind you folks that the Lord Jesus said in the last days, strange things are going to be in the skies. Amen. We're here. We're here. We are in the last days of the last days. And so 99% of scientists say they're sure there's they're pretty sure there's life on Mars. Really? Huh. Well, how do you come to that? Well, we put all the information in a computer, and then we just let that program run for about 6 months, and it just continued to spin and do this and do that until we got the desired result that we were looking for. And sure enough, this little strip came out and said, there's probably life on Mars. Seriously. Well, that's how they do it. And boy, they just think they're so smart, don't they? They just think they're so smart. Well, you don't believe in global warming? What is wrong with you? Well, you Neanderthal, you. You know, like they've got a corner on intelligence. Well, if you want my opinion, they got a corner on ignorance. You know, if we just read the Bible, folks, I've told you before, this Bible is not all that God knows, but it's all God wants us to know. Just read the Bible. 68 billion years ago. Oh, my soul. Wasn't 68 and 100 million years ago, just 68 billion years ago. Now, was that written on a cave wall somewhere? How'd you come to that conclusion? Oh, well, we're pretty sure that's when it was. Who's we? Well, me and my colleagues. We got more education than you have. Well, la-ti-da. That doesn't impress me. Does it impress you? You say, well, what are we supposed to believe? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is wisdom from above. You see, none of us were there. Not a one of us were there, not even 6,000 years ago when God created the heaven and the earth. You say, well, then how are we supposed to know? Because God tells us. Right here. And you know, if it wasn't true, do you think that the devil would be doing everything he could to destroy this book from the very minute that it was given? Oh my, yes. He's done all he can to destroy this book. And you know, it's like Paul said in Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm just going to believe God. Well, we're evolving. We're what? Evolving. Into what? Oh, into a higher state. You would say that with a straight face. I mean, come on, you're literally going to say that with a straight face. There is no way that statement is true. Folks, where is the elephant that doesn't have the trunk? And why haven't there been any new elephants evolve? Huh? Where's the new evolution? There is no new evolution. You know why? Because evolution is a lie. That's why. I should have entitled my sermon tonight, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Folks, that's worldly wisdom. Why does Hollywood make movies that are filled with cursing, nudity, drug use, alcohol use, cigarette smoking, violence, and all the rest? Why do they do that? Well, they do it because Hollywood is a reflection of society. You say, well, I just get so upset with all that stuff. Well, here's a thought. Don't watch it. Because you see, that is worldly wisdom. And when you sit down and watch that, you're putting it in your own mind. You're putting it in your own mind. You start then to think with worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, Paul said, man's wisdom is foolishness with God. And then in 1 Corinthians 2:14, he turns it around the other way and says, God's wisdom is foolishness to man. And that's so true, isn't it? You see, the world doesn't want what we're doing here right now. But I don't know about you, but I don't want what they're doing right now. So what is worldly wisdom? Well, just look at verse 15 and notice James says the wisdom of this world is earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. All right, now let's look at each one of these. First, it's earthly. So just what does that mean? Well, I did some digging, and I read where this literally means that worldly wisdom is earthbound. It's earthbound. You're not going to find worldly wisdom up in heaven. There's none up there. You say, well, what kind's up there? Heavenly wisdom. Amen. But it is earthly, so it is bound to this earth. Look at the first part of verse 15. The first part, look at it. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. So it does not come from heaven. It does not come from God. In other words, this wisdom is not from God, but it springs out of a limited and frail and sinful and unregenerated humanity. That's where it comes from. That's where it comes from. And that is in direct contrast to what James says in chapter 1. Go over to chapter 1 for just a moment again. Chapter 1 and look at verse 17. And here he says, every good gift and every, what's the next word? Perfect gift is from where? From above, exactly right. So the good gifts and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Wow, what a verse. What a verse. So earthly wisdom is not from heaven. It's not from God. But heaven's wisdom is from God. God is the one that gives us that wisdom. And I don't know about you, but man, I need it. Don't you need it? I just need that. And notice, James tells us there's two kinds of gifts that come from God. There's good gifts, and then there's perfect gifts. You remember that 3 is the number of completion all through your Bible. God only gave man 3 perfect gifts. He gave his Son. He gave his Holy Spirit. And he gave his word. And you notice we got to have all 3 for salvation. Amen. All right. Only 3. Now he gave some good gifts, but they're not perfect. You say, like what, church? I wish church was perfect. But it's not. One day it will be when we all get to heaven. And we're like Jesus. But right now it's not. I mean, God gives us a lot of good gifts. Our home. Our family. Wow, what a great gift is your wife or your husband. You want me to amplify on that, husbands? Yeah. Oh, me. I heard a lot of oh, me's in there. And notice that there are good gifts, perfect gifts, and God gave a lot of good gifts. Here's one, our salvation. You say, wait a minute, that's not perfect? No, not yet, but it will be. When the Lord comes back, how about music? Boy, there's a good gift. But can it be perverted? Oh, my. You bet your boots it can. And you see, when God created us, he made us in his image. And one of the things that means is that God is 3 yet one. He is Father, Son, Spirit. These 3 are one. And man, he created us in his image, and we are 3 parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. All right? And each of us is a body. We are in a body. You have a body. All right? But what you are is not, all of you is not body. You are a soul. That is the part that was quickened in you. When God breathed into Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That word means eternal. An eternal soul. All right? And so inside of your body is a soul. That soul is the real you. It is your mind, it is your will, and it is your emotions. It is who you are. And that's the part that is going to live forever. And And because of that, the Lord Jesus gives us a wisdom that when we go to him and ask for wisdom, a wisdom so that we can sit down and understand what's in this book. You see, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, I remember before I was saved, I'd sit down and read the Bible and I would say, this just doesn't make sense to me. This just doesn't make sense to me. I remember when the pastor, the day I got saved, and that pastor shook his finger at me and he said, read your Bible. Every day, read your Bible. I said, okay. So I went home, started reading the Bible. I read Genesis. And I got over to the fifth chapter, and there was all these names. And Methusiel, and Mahujael, and all the rest of the JL boys. And I'm sitting there wondering to myself, I don't have a clue what I'm reading here. And I didn't. But then I got saved. And man, when I got saved, I sat down and I started in Genesis again, reading that Bible, understanding that Bible. I said, I can't stop reading this thing. And the Holy Spirit begins to teach. And I'm telling you, folks, that is heavenly wisdom. And that's what we need. You don't need this worldly wisdom stuff. You don't need to know how to get around everything. You don't need, you don't have to teach a child to steal, do you? We went to the store one day when I was about 4. My brother was 3. And we walked down and went to the store. And my brother and I decided that there was a couple candy bars there that fit perfectly in our pockets. So we took them. And I knew it was wrong. And we got outside, and I ran a little bit ahead of Mom. My mom stopped. She said, stop. I stopped. I turned around. She said, what's in your pocket? Nothing. Famous words. Nothing. She said, what's in your pocket right now? What's in your pocket? Last chance. So I reached down in my pocket and I pulled out that Snickers bar. I don't know how that got there. Well, she taught me how it got there. Oh, yeah, I learned real quick. And she turned us around. She said, Michael, what's in your pocket? And she said, your brother put that in your pocket? Yeah, he did, Mom. You know, I still just like that kid. But she marched us back to the store. And she didn't pay for the candy bars. She laid them on the counter and said, I got all afternoon. What do these two boys need to do to earn these candy bars? She said, don't be merciful. He gave me a bucket and said, mop the floor. So I'm mopping the floor. It had one of them step things on it, and you pull it through the wringer, and all that. I mopped the floor. I don't remember what Mike did. Probably sat and laughed at me. You just know how to do wrong, don't you? Where do you get that? That's that sin nature in you, and that sin nature is inspired by Satan's antics. And he'll lie to you, he'll deceive you. So, plain and simple, folks, plain and simple, you've got this wisdom that is earthly. Second, it is sensual. That means carnal. And, you know, that's that part of us that is bent towards the world's sensuality. And boy, there's a lot of that out there. But inside our physical body is another body. That's the soul body. And man, do we need to feed that soul body. And right here's how you do it. Amen. And let that thing grow. And when it grows, it gets stronger than your sensual, than your earthly. All right, the next thing he said, that worldly wisdom is devilish. Let me tell you something, church. There's only one devil. And that one devil is Satan, Lucifer, the evil one, that wicked one, the dragon, that old serpent. That is the devil in all his splendor and glory. And let me tell you, this devil is not God Almighty. That means he's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He is not omnipresent. So he has a myriad of demons who help him do his work. And Satan is the master at imitating God. Everything good and everything perfect given by God is imitated in some fashion by the devil. Mark it down. There is a Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, and there is a satanic threesome. That's the Father, Satan, that's the beast, the Antichrist, and that is the false prophet. Whatever God has, Satan imitates it. God has a church. The devil has his churches. God has a Bible. The devil has his Bibles. I'm telling you, folks, the devil knows his business. He's a master at imitating God. A master. And James is simply saying the wisdom that we get from this world is full of satanic, demonic activity. Amen. Be careful. You better be careful. Our English language is so amazing. You know that? The letter D, devil. Think about it. Evil with a D on the front of it. D in our language, in the English language, is always going down. Downward. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, this D is overwhelmingly downward. Over half of our words in the English language are either that start with a D are either metaphorically or literally down. Down. Diamonds. Dia means through. Mons means mounds. You go through the mounds of dirt to get the diamonds out of the ground. You've got to, you ready? Dig for them. You got to dig for them. And then there's the devil, which is just evil with a downward D in front of his name. My, folks. My. No wonder God Almighty gave us the King James Bible. Amen. No wonder. Because this stuff's not in any other. You'll not find this in any other Bible. So what does this worldly wisdom produce? Well, look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. Here's what it produces. Envying and strife and confusion and every evil work. Every evil work. You know how this happens? Church members get offended. You know? They get offended. And then they sit around with their crowd and they devise. You see, you hear the word devise? they devise, and the next thing you know, you got World War III in your church. We've all seen it, haven't we? We've all seen it, because it goes on all the time. Now, who is James writing this epistle to? Well, according to chapter 1 and verse 1, he is writing to the 12 tribes who have been scattered everywhere. So, in other words, he's writing to Jewish believers. So, what does worldly wisdom produce? It's all the problems that we are seeing in our churches today. All the problems. It's absolutely amazing, folks. All the stuff that goes on in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. So how do Christians get themselves into these situations where there's strife and envy and all the things going on, just war all the time? How do Christians get themselves into this? Well, they simply do not grow in the wisdom of God. Folks, listen, every day of your life, pray for wisdom. Amen. Just ask God for it. And then read your Bible. And let God impart His wisdom to you. You don't need the world's wisdom. You got enough of that in you innately, built into the system. You don't need any more. You got enough. But all of us can use wisdom from above. It comes from God, and we get that by daily fellowship and praying and asking the Lord for it. May I remind you, Paul said in Galatians 5:17, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Lust of the flesh. You know, when our concept of God and our relationship with God grows and keeps pace with the rest of our faculties, we will see maturity and growth in our spiritual lives. And church, listen, right here, when we're not growing, that's when we find ourselves cold. Yep. That's when we find ourselves cold. That's when we come to church and we look at one another and we say, you know, pastor's just not feeding me. Is he feeding you? Well, you know, I was thinking about that too. And then it starts. Yak, 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 yak. And that's what's going on everywhere. You know why? Because we got so much worldly wisdom. And the wisdom of the world just keeps growing. And the wisdom from above, when that worldly wisdom is growing, that wisdom from above is not. So what is governing our thinking processes? Which wisdom are you seeking? Which wisdom are you living by? You see, as a Christian, you got to make up your mind you're going to keep growing. We have to keep progressing in the wisdom of God, or the wisdom of this world will overtake us. It's just that simple. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. I wonder how many folks will say, Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart tonight. It's funny how I always have the sarcastic, hurtful comeback. So it's really amazing how I can be so quick to have that dirty thought. That's worldly wisdom. That's worldly wisdom. You know, Paul talks about eyes that are filled with lust. That's worldly wisdom. That does not come from God. That's the world's wisdom. You say, well, Pastor, how do I get rid of all this? Well, let's work on getting some wisdom from above. How about that? And that comes, first of all, by getting in the book and then asking God for that wisdom from above. And if you ask for it, He'll give it to you. Not only will He give it to you, He'll give it to you liberally. And not only will He give it to you and give it to you liberally, but He won't scold you for asking if you could have some wisdom. I think that's just about as good as it gets. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many folks will say, Pastor, remember me in prayer tonight. God's speaking to my heart tonight, and I want to be prayed for. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up all over this building? Amen. God bless all of you. God bless you. What a wonderful sight that is. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Upstairs, downstairs, thank you. God bless you. Amen. All right, Father, you know our hearts, and I just pray that the Holy Spirit of God will work in our hearts and help us to understand what we've heard tonight. There is a wisdom that is from above. Oh, how we need that one. So, Father, help us to read the Word of God and to pray for wisdom. And, Father, you use your Word to give us understanding, to give us a mind that is full of godly wisdom. And Father, that's what we need. Oh, it'll help us be better Christians. It'll help us be a better dad, a better mom. It'll help us with our children. It'll help us with our grandchildren. So Father, give us, I pray, that wisdom from above. So I want to pray for all these hands that were raised. And Father, you know our needs tonight, so bless and meet the needs. And we'll thank you for it all in Christ's name. Amen.